The following is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
All right, well, let's look at some of the things that can, in our flesh, perhaps hinder us from this. Things that can be weighing on our heart or kind of pull us away. We see the commands, we see what we're called to do. And yet, again, I say this as one who's experienced these things. There's a hesitation. You know, you don't come to church on Sunday morning and say, man, I hope someone just drops something really heavy into my lap that I can help them with. I cannot wait. I hope all of the burdens that people are coming with, they form a line in front of me and I can help them with that. No, there is, again, and some of this is a helpful fear as we look and say, I don't want to do this wrong. I don't want to just haphazardly, you know, walk into this. I want to be thoughtful and intentional. But when we take this too far, or perhaps when it's sinful motives that are driving us away, we want to just be aware of those in our own flesh. And maybe not all of these you wrestle with, but I would say on some level of the three we're going to look at, we all probably on some level can identify with this. So the first thing we see here is apathy. And I like this quote. So we did this class 7 years ago, and Bob sent me his notes, and this was one quote I just had to leave in. I thought it was really funny. I mean, it's helpful. It's insightful. But the nice thing about apathy is you don't have to exert yourself to show you're sincere about it. how do you show that you're sincere about your apathy? Just do nothing. Because that's what it is. Literally, without feeling, there's just not a concern. You're indifferent to the needs, the struggles of others. Now, again, I hope this is not where our hearts are at. And again, in moments where we are talking about it and it's brought, you know, to the surface, and how many of us are the Peters where we say, though all may feel indifferent toward your body, Lord, I would never. And we come in and we maybe overhear a conversation, something that's going on, and we're like, I'm just going to kind of slowly walk away. I hope they don't talk to me. I'm just going to kind of keep to myself because, well, these kind of build on each other, but there's a fear. Or perhaps there's just not a desire to be ingrained into the body. So you can just see some of these things. If we're not intentional about cultivating that love, about developing those relationships in the body, it's very easy to just remain on the fringe. You come, you take in the sermon, you sing songs, maybe you grab the coffee and cookie, and then poof, I'm gone. Rather than saying, no, this is my family. These others are members of Christ's body with me. I need to be in their lives. They need to be in my life. I need to be seeking out those relationships, because that indifference is going to cause you to look at the need for soul care and discipleship and counseling and saying, that's someone else. That's not me. That's not my problem. That's not what I want to do. I've got other things going on. So this concern that we should have for the body just melts away. But just look at Romans 12. Put that passage in there, Romans 12, 10 and 11. We've preached through this passage, but just look at these words. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Man, those are the kind of passages that just energize you, like, yeah, let's go, we're going to do this. But those truths need to stick. They need to stick into your heart to say, I need to be devoted to this body. This is where the Lord has placed me. This is where the Lord is growing me. This is the leadership that God has put me under. This is where I'm being fed and my soul is being cared for, Lord willing. So I need to be devoted to this body, to one another, giving preference, putting others' needs before my own. There needs to be that humility that is going to extinguish any amount of apathy that is in our hearts. So you cannot come here on Sunday morning and just be indifferent to what's going on. To say, it's a one-way channel. I'm taking things in, but that's all I'm concerned about, and then I'm gone. No, we need to have that concern and love for one another. And then next, and perhaps this is maybe the most common, if we're honest, there's a fear. There is fear on some level, and I put there 1 Corinthians 10:13, because you need to know this temptation is common to man. every single one of us wrestles with this fear, and you know, it's fear of man, it's fear of, you know, am I going to say something wrong, or am I not going to, you know, am I not going to be helpful? And again, some of those are healthy fears that should lead us to a deeper study of the scriptures, which we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if it's simply just, hey, I don't want to confront someone, I don't want to, you know, rock the boat, I don't want them to think less of me or be upset with me, I don't want any of that, or just that fear of being ill-equipped, we wrestle with those, but we need to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and we need to, you know, understand if these things are in my flesh, I need to be aware of them, I need to be casting that off. And I just put, yeah, just two areas here, likely there's more, but just two areas to consider where this fear can express itself. And first, it's the, as I mentioned, the fear of confrontation. And again, this is not something we enjoy. We don't enjoy confrontation. We avoid it likely at all costs. But there are times in the body, if things are going on, if people are in sin, the Lord has called us as believers in the body to seek one another out, to care for one another by confronting one another. And you can see the example here in Galatians 2. You remember this passage where Paul was confronting Peter because of what he was doing. He was eating with the Gentiles. The Jews came and he shunned the Gentiles. So there was this fear of the Jews, which caused Peter to act this way. He was bringing division, all of these things. So Paul saw the need to intervene. He didn't delegate this to someone. He didn't say, hey, you need to do this. He saw this. And he said, I need to go and I need to address this to Peter face to face. And it reminds us, page 5, of just the consequences then if these things aren't addressed. If we are simply just saying, I don't want that confrontation. I see someone in that sin. They need that admonishment, that loving correction. That's just not me. I'm not the confrontational type. I'm go with the flow. I'm easygoing. I don't like people being upset with me. Well, just know that there's far greater consequence if that sin is just left to ravage their life. So again, these passages we're familiar with, but these are commands for the body in the context of the church to help those who are in sin. Galatians 6:1, brethren, there's our term again, talking about the body, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. You are called, if you see anyone in a trespass, to go and to seek to restore them in that spirit of gentleness. Echoing Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. And that reminds us that, you know, this confrontation, it's not just fighting for the sake of fighting or arguments for the sake of arguments or trying to win or, you know, rub their nose in and say, look what you did wrong. But the goal is always restoration. So praise the Lord that he has put us in places to do this, because this is a means by which a brother or sister in Christ can be restored to right fellowship with other believers and with the Lord himself. So don't shy away from this, because again, these are commands for us. So we can't fear this confrontation. And again, I often see these in myself, so I keep saying they're very common because I live with myself all the time, so I know the tendencies of my flesh. But just another fear here of being ill-equipped. And again, there's some legitimacy to this in that we all need to be continually growing in our knowledge of Scripture. If we're not doing that, Colossians 3:16, if the Word of God is not richly dwelling in us, then how can we teach and admonish with all wisdom? So we need to be running to the Scriptures. This is if it's a healthy fear, it will bring us to the Scriptures so that we can be equipped to then bring the Word. But if this is just simply a fear that drives us to inaction, this is not my wheelhouse, we've got elders in the church that can do that, or we've got other people who are, I've seen do this, they're really good at it, I'm just going to farm that out to them. No, you need to understand that you have the same Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have the same scriptures that other believers have. You're called to study them and practice them and then to bring them to others. So again, we don't find sufficiency in ourselves. None of us are equipped naturally to do this. Not one single believer. But God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's given us his word. He's given us the Spirit who helps us to discern and understand truth. And I put in parentheses there, 1 Peter 3:15. We are called to be ready. We need to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in us. Now, I would say that's more in an evangelistic mindset. We need to be ready to share the hope of Christ, but how much more do we need to be ready to share Christ, to proclaim Christ, to admonish and teach in Christ so that Christ would be formed in every believer? It's the same idea. We need to be ready. There needs to be a preparedness. So don't let this fear cause you to shell into yourself and say, mm-mm, sorry, can't help you. But have it cause you to go to Scripture. Say, I need to learn. I see that I'm not as equipped as I want to be. I want to keep learning and growing and understanding truth so that I can do what Scripture has called me to do. So I don't know. Any thoughts just on the maybe those first two, the apathy or the fear? Anything maybe to highlight before we move on? Sure. Yeah.
So that's I'm afraid of confronting the wrong.
Yeah, it's helpful. So Liz is talking about a fear of confrontation, but you know, is this the right timing? Is what I'm confronting something that needs to be confronted? Probably those things, and we kind of need to triage a little bit. What's the issue that's actually taking place, and does this require intervention? So obviously, when we look at those, the Galatians 6, the Matthew 18, we see those if they're in any trespass. So if they are, if they're clearly violating Scripture, we need to go and we need to confront. That's what's put in there. Romans 12 says we're called to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So we're called to come alongside those who are in struggle. Then that's not really confronting. Really, the confronting is the connotation of we see someone doing something we don't think they're supposed to do. And that's where I lean on the Galatians 6 and Matthew 18. If it's something of scriptural principle or command that they are neglecting or sort of some sin that they are pursuing. But if it's something where, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, when we talk about the characteristics of someone who's counseling, if this is just a gray area issue or a preference issue, we don't admonish based on our preferences. And I don't think you're saying that, but that would maybe be the line of just, okay. And by the way, as that feeling of ill-equipped brings you to the Scriptures, it's going to help to understand what are those principles and things that I need to be looking out for. What are those things that are necessary to confront? Again, it's an overflow of our understanding of the word. If there's blatant unrepentant sin, if they're in a path of destruction, if they're just going against what God's word says in word or action or whatever that is, you lovingly, gently confront them. And I would say sooner rather than later, just as far as timing, maybe part of this is you want to go and you seek clarification. Like, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm perceiving. Correct me if I'm wrong. If I was wrong in this, forgive me. But this is what I perceive to be seeing in you. I saw this and I just want to address it. And that's the wisdom of Matthew 18, where you go and you address it with them in private. Part of that is you're seeking that clarification to know, hey, is this actually true? I think that's Proverbs 18:13. He who speaks before he hears is folly to him. We want to go, we want to gather information, and then move forward in light of what we know to be true. Yeah, Kurt.
How do we fight the fear, just in view of, like, what if I say the wrong thing? Of maybe someone who, they're so gentle, they don't want, they're afraid they're going to come across so squishy that they didn't actually say anything truthful, or they're just going to come down with a hammer. Like, they're afraid of how it's going to come across. How do you prepare? How does someone, either of those, prepare?
Yeah, you can You can seek, one thing, again, just looking to the body itself, just seeking out discipleship and say, hey, I want to grow in this. Can you help me? Like, if you see someone who is doing this, or someone maybe who is, you know, you're the squishy end and you need more of the admonition end, go to someone that you know and say, hey, I'm really wrestling with this. Can you help me just to think through this? Or, you know, maybe there's not a specific, if there's a specific issue that just falls into your lap, that's another thing. But, you know, if you're just wanting to prepare for this, you can seek out discipleship, read, you know, find books that talk through. I mean, for most of these notes, I've tried to include helpful resources, one of which I had here. I was going to bring it out later, but Counsel with Confidence. I love this book. You know, I talked about the preparation I do prior to a counseling appointment. This is a resource that I go to all the time. Because what it does here is it lists out first, you know, as a counseling 101, so it walks through just the foundations, essentially what we're covering in this class, and then it goes through common problems, anger, fear, depression, forgiveness, pornography, all of those things. It has a marital counseling section, parenting, all of that, and it just goes through, it lists out principles, it lists out, you know, solutions, you know, just really, really helpful in both the theological and the practical. So this is a really helpful resource I would encourage you to look at just for that being equipped. But then just the tendencies in our flesh, we just have to recognize them and say, Lord, I need you to grow me in this. You know, give me boldness if I'm fearful, or, you know, temper me, Lord. I pray that I would look to Christ in his humility so that I wouldn't just roll over anyone that that comes to me for help. So, yeah, it's being equipped in the Word, developing that love for the body, and yes, perhaps seeking out that discipleship to help you in those. Dan? Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there's a if you're saying there's a desire, certainly, but hey, this is beyond, you know, kind of normal sanctification issues. This is something that one has perhaps extremely devastating consequences, and I need wisdom. I think through even our counseling ministry here, you know, Bob, when he was here, and me now, like, I don't counsel every single person that comes and seeks counsel. We have people in the church that are doing that, but yet there are some things that come to me, not because, you know, we all have the same Word, the same Holy Spirit, but things that I've been equipped for and trained in that perhaps... Yeah, they say, hey, I need wisdom on this, or, you know, meet and talk with someone who's counseling or discipling someone and say, hey, I really need help thinking through this. So, yeah, I think there is wisdom in not just saying, okay, this person's life is falling apart, but I don't need anyone else. I got the Holy Spirit and the Word. No, we have one another to lean on as well for wisdom. So, yeah, there's a good balance there of not allowing that fear to just have you move away from doing anything ever. But not maybe an arrogance would be the other end of that, to say, I've got this, I don't need anyone else, I don't need wisdom, because, you know, what does Proverbs 1:7 say? The wise man hears and increases in learning, the fool, he despises instruction. So we need to be those who are wise in seeking out counsel if we need it as we're coming alongside others. So yeah, it's a good clarification. All right, let's look at, oh, sorry, Terry.
God has given us certain, and God designed certain skill packages, obviously. Those are our strengths, but they also can easily become our weaknesses, because you shift into that very easily in self-confidence, mm-hmm. because you're comfortable doing that.
Right.
And so that just really helps me.
Yeah, or just knowing, I think I've heard Todd say this before, every strength has a corresponding weakness, which again just highlights the need for the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, because there are our weaknesses that are covered by the strengths of others. So there are, there are areas that I struggle in more as far as, I need, I'll just say, I'm more the ooey gooey. I'm more the gentle. I'm not the pulpit pounder. I need someone, those in my life to help me understand, hey, no, this is how you need to admonish. We can't move to that side of indifference or fear because of fear of confrontation. So the Lord has been growing that in me. Now, there's a strength in that, I'm not puffing myself up by any means, but there's a strength in gentleness of, hey, there's a care and compassion, and I pray that's what it's flowing out of, not just a fear of man. But so both of those ends have corresponding weakness, which again highlights the body coming together to build itself up in love. Yeah.
And along that line, thinking too, it's not what I say, it's how I say it. If you're quick to speak, how you say it might be too sharp.
Oh, sure.
Or harsh. Or
yeah.
Without compassion.
Right.
So if you can take that and frame it within a different word package. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of getting to what Alyssa was saying with timing of confrontation. And, we'll get into this more when we talk about, in a couple of weeks when we talk about the process. And you might be meeting with someone, it's the first time you're meeting, and you already know exactly what the heart root issue is. And everything in you wants to just say, nope, this is what you got to do. But there needs to be some nuance of asking questions, building the trust, building the relationship, all of that comes alongside, what we're doing. So yeah, the timing of it, not being, we want to be slow to speak. There's wisdom in just taking in information, thinking through this, and then thinking through how do I lead this person to that point? You're not, it may not just be A to B. It could be A, B, C. And there's a path to get there. There's wisdom in thinking through. Okay, I know what the issue is. I know where. God's word has called them to be. How then do I get through them from that point to that point? Yeah, so that's good. Last one really quick here. Let's just look at it. And this, I said this could really sum up everything, but I just want to highlight a couple more just particular things. It's this area of pride. So top of five and page six. And just looking at some ways that pride, that just looking to ourselves, self-seeking, can cause us either, again, to neglect this altogether or to do this poorly. And first, you can see there just how it expresses itself is this idea of individualism. We've talked about this a little bit already, but just seeing church as a place where you come in, your needs are met, you're being fed, you're being equipped. I have an italicized there. If I'm looking out for others, who's looking out for me? Which is just such the wrong approach. To the body of Christ, because as you look at a passage like Ephesians 4, what is happening? We're looking out for one another. We're supplying one another. So as you are caring for others and others are caring for you, the body builds itself up. But if you have, 400 people that are coming to a church and they're saying, I'm just serving me, you have 400 individual body parts that aren't tethered together and will all just shrivel and die. No, we're called to come and have a love and serve one another. This is not about what, you can see there, my time, my needs, my schedule, what it costs me, what I'm going to get out of it, all those kind of inward first person type pronouns. Because if that's our mindset, if we look at an issue and our first question is, this is going to cost me too much. This is not for me. I don't have enough time. I already have enough going on in my life. I don't need to tack this on to. That's just the wrong. That's not a heart for God's people. It's a heart for yourself. There will be no efforts toward discipleship if we're too busy or this maybe uncomfortability draws us into ourselves rather than seeing priority being Christ in his body. And you can see there Philippians 2. We are to have this humility of mind, this regard for one another. We regard one another as more important than ourselves. We don't merely look out for our own interests, but the interests of others. And then you know how that passage continues, speaking of Christ and saying, well, praise the Lord that Christ didn't think that way. That when Christ was in the garden, he didn't say, Father, this is too hard. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. Praise the Lord that our Savior willingly submitted his will to the Father's will and went to the cross, endured all that for us, having done nothing wrong. So we want to have that same heart for one another. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really touched by Pastor's sermon this morning when he said even when he was going through that in the garden, that extreme anguish, he was still caring for him.
Yeah. That's like, amazing.
Well, yeah. You know, reflect on my own life when I'm in a lot of struggle in my, it's usually the tendency is to go inward. Mm-hmm.
I know, you kind of have to sheepishly think like, okay, I say I've got a lot on my plate right now, and there's not a lot I can do to help. Man, that's a lot on your plate, to know what's coming before you, and yet still going and caring for the disciples. Man, what a heart of compassion for the disciples that he had. So yeah, let us model that same thing. We just need to be killing this. We need to be understanding Ephesians 4:16, that we are to be building one another up. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We're not to be concerned about my needs, all of these things. We need to be seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness and trusting that the Lord is going to provide. So that's one area. And then second, we've touched on this already, but you can see pride expressing itself. If we're in this process, if we're coming and we're admonishing one another with our own preferences rather than by the word of God. If someone comes to us and they're struggling and we simply lean on our own experience, our own thoughts, our own preferences, whatever that is, or if the thing that they're, Alyssa, to your question, you know, if they're struggling with something that's not violating scripture, but it's simply just they're living out their life in a way that's different to your preferences. To then say, I'm going to come down and say, why are you doing this? You shouldn't be doing this. And they ask you why, and if you can't give, well, this is what Scripture says, or it says, well, I think. That should, you know, if we're going back and forth and saying, well, this is what Scripture says, or this is what I think, that those are going to lead to two very, very different things. Yeah?
There's a tract that I've read a long time ago, how to share your faith without having an argument. And the strategy there is, Scripture, wait for the person, read that to me, you tell me what it says. Mm-hmm. You tell me what it means. Then I'm not arguing with you. You're arguing with what you're on how you understand those words.
Right. And again, it's so freeing because then it's not, hey, they're disagreeing with me. They're disagreeing with the word of God. Yeah. And again, we don't have to manufacture something. It's not just, hey, this is, you know, Matt's 9 rules for life. No one would read that book. No, we come to the scriptures and say, this is what the Lord says. And we let the Spirit convict because that's what the Spirit is doing. He convicts the hearts of the world, of his people, all of those things. So yeah, you're very right. We bring them to Scripture. And again, you can read through that, just talking about those gray area, the Christian liberties. We're not to be judging others based on those things, but we want to be more concerned. And maybe just the last line in that section, we need to be more concerned, this is an evidence rather, that we're more concerned with the kingdom of self than the kingdom of God. And again, just that question that we always have to wrestle with, whose kingdom am I trying to build? Am I building Matt's kingdom or am I seeking to build Christ's kingdom? And that's going to be a very helpful just barometer to us as we step into this area of counseling. So then just last couple pages here, want to look then at what are some of the qualities? Again, we know that Scripture is obviously sufficient. We all have the same word of God. We have the Spirit dwelling in us. But there are things that we need to consider as we're preparing to do this. What is it that needs to exist in us if we're going to do this effectively? Because you can do this ineffectively. If there's a command, then you can either do it or not do it, or do it right or do it wrong. If there's a command in Scripture that implies that you can do this the way that God intends or not. So we need to know then, what is it that needs to be true of me? Again, these are high-level things. We're going to get into the very nitty-gritty in a couple weeks with the practical, but just kind of high-level, what are things that need to be true of me? First, we need to have a love for and a knowledge of the Word of God. If we say that Scripture is sufficient, and yet we don't know the Scriptures, what do we have to offer? Nothing. So again, that fear of being ill-equipped, that can be healthy if it's driving you to the Word and saying, I need to be filling my mind with Scripture. I need to know what God's Word says. I need to at least have these principles stamped in my own heart and life so that as an overflow of that, I can minister to and care for others. So a couple passages here, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And then what is the overflow of that with all wisdom? Teaching and admonishing one another. So first this dwelling in us. As an overflow of that, we then with all wisdom teach and admonish one another. And then if that first highlighted part isn't there, then it's going to be with our wisdom teaching and admonishing one another. And you won't actually do anything, nothing effective. And then going back, so I referenced Romans 15 toward the beginning of our time, and I highlighted the my brethren part and the command to admonish one another. But what does he say here? I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. So there's a filling that takes place. We're filling ourselves with this knowledge, and then pray that the Lord would be pleased to work through us, and that this overflow of our own devotion would then spill over into the lives of others in this teaching and admonishing. So you can see there just a couple bullet points down. You cannot lead someone to a place you've never been. If at best it will be hypothetical, and at worst it'll be hypocritical. Where you're saying this is what you need to do and yet you're not doing this, or you know, you need to trust in the Lord and yet you're not trusting in the Lord. It's hard to give sincere application from the Word of God if you're not seeking this out and living it out. It's a well that we're drawing off of to care for others. So we need to remember that we cannot lead people to places we have not been. And then this is going to help us, as we have a love for God's Word, to not be giving counsel that is outside of God's Word. You know, the more and more you're equipped with Scripture, I pray that the less temptation will be there to say, okay, well, I don't really know what Scripture says on this. I don't know. I'm meeting with them in 10 minutes. I don't know. I don't really want to take time to go to the Scripture. Let me just see what I can think of to offer them. No, don't do that. It's going to take them to a place where they should not be. And by the way, as you're doing that, if you're offering them things in your life, even if there's a perception of, hey, I feel better now having this gotten this this information, this you've given me some things to think about, yet it wasn't rooted out of God's Word, there's going to be an unhealthy dependence of the counselee onto you rather than the Word of God. So then that relationship then becomes an idol to them, saying, well, I need to keep going to Matt because I'm not going to grow unless I'm going to Matt. No, what you want to do is equip them in the Scriptures so that they would say, if I'm not going to the Word of God, I'm not growing. So we want to tether them to Christ, not to us. So we do that as we're equipped with the Word and we're giving that to them. So second one, so first we need to have a love for and a knowledge of the Word of God. Second, we need to have a love for God's people. And again, this was kind of laced throughout our whole time, but you need to have a love for the body. It's plain and simple. The body of Christ cannot be simply something that you are indifferent to, that you don't care about. I was going to have us open to 1 Thessalonians 2, but just for lack of time, I would encourage you maybe today to read through that passage in verses 7 to 11, where Paul just details his love for the Thessalonians, that like a nursing mother cares for her children, he was gentle among them. As an encouraging, exhorting father, he came to them with this instruction. He gave his life to them. That is a level of devotion that I don't think perhaps we always understand. But this is what we're called to have this kind of love for one another. Ephesians 4, bottom of page 7, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. Those are the characteristics that need to mark our life in the body. Colossians 3:14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So we need to have this love for one another. And just the bold and italicized portion there, right at the end of that point, we need to see this ministry toward one another as a burden, or excuse me, rephrase that. I'm so glad this is recorded forever. We must not see this ministry toward one another as a burden. Rather, we must be burdened for one another in love. So just, we need to reframe that in our mind. We need to be burdened for one another because of the love that we have for each other. And then last one here, really quickly, this has been laced throughout our time, so just highlighting it again, we need to be willing to speak the truth to one another. We can't back away from it. Love is not the absence of truth. Love is not the absence of confrontation. Love at times is needed confrontation. Love is that admonition, that teaching, that instruction. And again, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Colossians 3:16, we're with all wisdom, so we need to be willing to speak that truth. We don't do this to shame. That's 1 Corinthians 4:14. We're not shaming one another, but we're admonishing, we're correcting, because we see where someone is struggling and we want to see Christ formed in them. So we are so burdened in our heart toward them that we have to say something. We love them so much that we have to say something to them, because to not do that would go against this love that we have for the body. So, you know, any last thoughts, questions? Again, some resources there at the bottom for you to consider, but anything as we close?
You've been listening and presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.